multi-level intergalactic prairie studios. We alter your local ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty 365 degrees
Kelvin.
To keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Lou?
Yes.
Oh, James. Yeah, it's totally working.
Michael, I know it's working.
I'm feeling it AF right now.
Oh, dear. It's going to be a long night. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Woo! BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
So we have a new Fiends here tonight. We've had him on the show before as a guest. But James Weeks II, the naked guy from C-SPAN on the Libertarian Party convention, who did the large man who did the strip tease. And I'm not being fattest. I mean, this is his name. I'm still saying his name. I'm not being fattest. I'm plump and luscious also. However, I think James could pound the tar out of me, even if I were in good health, because he's as plump as luscious as me and a little more, and probably has about 17 inches of height on me. How tall are you, James Weeks II?
6 foot.
Yeah,
his milkshake brings all the men status to the yard.
Actually, I think the men status go running from me.
Actually, James's first appearance on the show was a remote from in his windowless van, and
that sounds
not
creepy.
Like a windowless bunker, but the free candy van, and and it was over the This Is Feinstein Bolshumer rally, where he dressed up like a Southern preacher, and was out with his megaphone and his signs, chasing the geese around the park.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
I love that suit.
So we got Lou Fiend. That was Lou Fiend talking. We got Lisa Fiend talking. I don't know if they're married. Just everyone's fiend. James Fiend. Michael Fiend.
We're all married.
James Fiend.
You know.
James Fiend. So, yeah, man. It's been quite a day of beef on the pod beefs. I was banned for 24 hours by Chris Cantwell. Well, he didn't ban me. According to him, I don't know if this is true or not, but... See, I'm trying to get the app open.
My understanding of it is he somehow got triggered, went to a safe space, and one of his white knights went and snitched on you to the Facebook police.
Well, yeah, his safe space,
isn't
though.
Isn't that how it went? Yeah.
Yeah, somebody
was white knighting for him.
He's blocked me a long time ago, but he does have sock puppets. And actually, a sock puppet that was, like, yelling. So today, Steve Miller... Okay, I'm burying the lead. So there's this guy, Chris Cantwell. He's horrible, and he thinks he's great. And he used to have followers, but he's pretty much driven them all away because he was originally a libertarian. Then he became an alt-right, which is the same thing. One of those white is right dudes. Kind of like your drunk racist uncle, but, you know, has a Mises book in his basement.
And doesn't come to Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. I'm glad he doesn't. But, so, you know, he used to be a drug addict years ago, and he cleaned himself up and now just drinks and said that was a degenerate thing to do, and he's no longer a degenerate. And apparently, so then he finally found love. Met a girl, but she happened to be half Puerto Rican, which I guess the white nationalists don't like, which is odd because Puerto Rico is America and pretty white. But so he lost like 95% of his fans in 2 days, like started losing them and then started screaming at them for complaining about him. And you're like, there's this, we played his rant on the air where he's just like yelling at his fans. If there was a graph, you would just see it go at that, like during that 5 minute rant. So then the girlfriend got pregnant. Then she left him and then she aborted the kid because, you know, who wants to carry on his genes in the world? And he got mad and he started doing a whole bunch of crystal meth.
Allegedly.
And actually, according to him, you know, he's Cantwell coin. He's been, yeah, the smallest amount is a Christopher. He came up with that one. I like it.
Yeah, it's measured in grams. And,
yeah.
And you mine it in like a lab with propane tanks, and you have to wear wear like the mask and everything. But anyway.
Yep. Yep. And instead of a hash rate, the network has a meth rate. But so he is slowly
hash
going
when
downhill
they can get it.
And going insane. And I've been poking him. And, you know, people are like, Michael, you used to be an addict. Why are you, you know, aren't you supposed to be helping people and, you know, having compassion and understanding no matter what their problems are? And I'm like, nope, he's the exception. So today, yesterday I had this whole clusterfuck with this guy named Dalton Adair, who we're going to talk a little bit more about lately. Like, I irked him 2 days ago. He made a donation. I used it for some emergency other than what he demanded I use it for. And when asked about it, I'd forgotten. I admitted it. He got mad. I immediately refunded his money. It would have been over with anybody else, but he stapled his hand to his forehead and went, oh, and went on a tirade, like, tagging all my friends about how bad I am. And so he said today, apparently, someone told me, I haven't blocked, but someone said that all 20 of our mutual friends blocked him. And I didn't tell any of them to block him. That just happened on its own. And then he posted something today that said, thank you for those who have still stuck up for me publicly and offered me support privately. These last 24 hours have been trying on my soul. My faith in the libertarian movement has been shaken to the foundations, and now I look at the rubble and wonder if it's even worth rebuilding. Sometimes it's better to let dead things alone. What a freaking drama queen. Like, this is all in his head, this shaken to the foundations, this, you know, trying on his soul. Like, I wouldn't have thought about him once since it happened, except for he kept bleeding it in front of everybody. So, and then like 19 hours later, when only one person had clicked like on it, he reshared it and said, resharing for relevance.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So I think that I've got some interesting beefs going on, but James Weeks had a star beefing at him today. Milo Yiapalapalopoulos, whatever his name is, that, you know, the new media darling of the alt right. You know, because he's like, he's a gay dude that hates liberals, and, you know, so is Derek J, but, you know, he's not a prick about it like Milo. So people love Milo, and he's a star, and he's been on Fox News, and he goes, speaks at colleges and speaks it and gets booed. And today he spoke in Michigan in front of a room full of what looked like 30-year-old virgins, totally, in this video. We're going to play some of the audio later. So I was going to start with it. I'm still going to finish this segment with my beefs, but they're nothing like the rock star beefs that you have, man. That's impressive, James.
Yeah, apparently they love to hate. But just to go back to Dalton, apparently I completely forgot about this until you were just talking about it. I had a beef with him back in January, which led to him blocking me a long time, when he was trying to convince me that anarchists had to vote in order to be anarchists.
Yeah, he's an idiot. He's some woman told me today, like, oh, he's always, you know, getting in beefs with people, and, you know, that thing of like, if you meet more than 5 a-holes in a day, chances are you're one of them. So he meets a lot of a-holes every day, apparently. But this guy
Jamin Bitconic, aka Jamin Bitcoin.
Jamin Bitcoin. That's what I always thought his name was. In my head, it just still is.
That's a good name.
He said that he tried to do Dalton a favor a while back, like, I don't know, last year sometime or this year sometime. Jamin does this thing where he has this, I don't know if he makes it, or this open source learning system. Does he make that or resell it?
That's his project, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool project, how people learn open source software.
It is great. If someone can get a link for that, I'll put it in the show notes and send it to me before the show's over. So he was putting that on a hard drive for Dalton Adair, and like doing it for free as a favor, you know, like this thing that, you know, would cost money. And I don't know who paid for the hard drive, but basically Jamin's doing him a really big favor. And like, he didn't do it quick enough because he got the information and the thing right before he went on vacation. He came back a week later to this long page of angry text from Dalton for not doing the favor quick enough. So, yeah, it's not me. And it's funny because he tagged all these people, you know, shared a bunch of like private messages, which is kind of funky as it is. Like, you know, I was messaging him privately, but he shared this with a bunch of people and tagged them. Like, this is proof that I've been harmed. And like 19 out of 20 people who read it went, what? No, he was in the right. He paid you back. Like, that's the bottom line of all of this, too, is like, you know, the guy flipped out, like, whatever I did. As soon as he complained, I immediately sent his money back. What person on earth would do that? Although, here's the thing. Okay, so Chris Cantwell, I sent him $20 today and said, use it to buy more, buy Bitcoin, and says, use it to buy more Nazi marching powder, which I'm not saying drugs. I think that's, you know, rat poison, which is what I think he's doing or maybe should be doing. But, you know, I said to hasten your goose step to homelessness. And he shared it and got really upset. And he said, hey, haha. He didn't say me by name. He won't say my name. But he said something like some.
He that shall not be named.
Yeah, yeah. I am he who cannot be named. But he called me something. What was it? Some liberal. Do you guys remember? We'll get it. It's going to be the name of the episode. But
liberal envy, something or other.
Liberal envy, yeah. Yeah, liberal, yeah. So so he said that he sent it to some right-wing group as a donation. Like, that's going to harm me. I don't care what he does with it. It got in his head, you know, like sending him money for Nazi marching powder to help hasten his decline. You know, $20. Getting in his head and irking him, priceless. And it was also to show Dalton and anybody else, I'll damn well do what I want with donations. Oh, I also got $400 in donations because of Dalton's ABC. Wow. And everyone said, use it for whatever you want. And someone said, use it for Kratom.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
It's a rule that gives me, despite its like 70 word, which is 63 words, 68 words over the, what is it? I think good memes like under 8 words, if there's any words at all. But this one's great. Which Nancy said it? Yeah. So the name of this episode, though, is going to be either, what did Cantwell call me? We found it somewhere. It's either going to be countdown until Cantwell pawns his gun or eats his gun. I'm not sure which. Although my theory is that I think he's got 4 guns. Because he's one of those idiots who shows all his guns off on videos.
Had.
Yeah. So he has some nice guns. He got an AK-47. He's got one of those, what is it, Sega or Sigma, those semi-auto shotgun. Like the, yeah, it's like a.
Yeah, plot twist, he already pawned his guns, and that's why he stopped using video in his streams.
How do you know that?
I don't know. Just
I think he pawned his microphones already.
He pawned his camera for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And because he's gone from having a really good sounding, the only good thing I can say about that guy is he has good audio, and I know for a fact that it's because Ian Freeman helped him out a little bit, but he told a friend of mine that he watched my video on how to podcast, my hour and a half video, and he's like, yeah, that guy's an idiot, but that's I learned some stuff from that. So he had good audio. But now he has horrible audio because he's doing his thing on his show on a phone. So, you know, that's actually, I said this last night, that's a plot twist in the Marin show where Mark Marin, you know, the character playing himself, relapses after like 17 years off heroin and ends up like selling his house and living in a storage locker and doing his podcast on a phone. That's funny, man. I dig it. So, show title.
Send him the link to the $13 Fiend Phone on Amazon.
I can't find it. I said today, where is the link? Do you know where it is?
I've never seen it. Oh, okay. I was just taking your word for it.
It actually went up because somebody, an iPhone, beautiful person, iPhone user, Travis, asked me today where it was, and it went up to like $21. But, hey, you know, if Cantwell ends up homeless, I'd probably spend $21 more to buy him a cheap little Android nothing phone so he could still do a show so I could laugh at him. Because he's going to end up being... I sent him the $20 and said, this is for more Nazi ant marching powder or, you know, once you're homeless, some nice colored pens for making your cardboard signs. And he called me a leftist envy complex, so that may be the name of the show. But yeah, cuck. All right, we'll get to the cucks. That's the recording, the Milo recording. Yeah. So what do you guys think? Hey, we got a new show, a new station.
Yay.
I'm going to say this again in the fourth segment, because that's the one that will go on the best of that they'll play. But, yeah, WZXI, 1280 AM in Lancaster, Kentucky, has added us. Sundays live from 12 to 2 Central. That's the that'll be the best of. Each week.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
So now we're at 33.
What's that?
So are we at 33 stations now?
Yeah. Well, there's a pretty powerful, shall we say, community station. You know, not the most powerful station in the Triad area, but much bigger. That's goes between the Philippines and Hawaii and is in Hawaii again now. So there's that. Mm. Yep, and I just want to say a tip of the hat to the guy. He had the same thing I had last couple months ago, like cancer scare, biopsy, found out it's not cancer. So I did a little happy dance when I heard that about that guy. I'm not going to say his name because, you know, community radio stations.
Yeah, for some reason, it seems like we're always at 32 because gain a station, lose a station. You know, format changes.
I know.
They go from the fly fishing Maserati repair to the to the Christian Muslim interfaith rodeo network.
Rodeo network. You ever been to a rodeo? I went to one here in Wyoming. They're great.
I've been to one. Yep.
They're really patriotic, though, man. It's like baseball games, but more so, you know.
More patriotic than a baseball game.
Yeah, and know, I don't know if that's the place you want to like sit down. You know,
they dye their
Cantwell, faked it.
They dye their Cantwell coin red, white, and blue.
Yeah,
they snort it.
Oh man,
I feel bad ragging on him because
I don't.
I've never really ragged on him too much before. I never really had too much against him. Because I did think that he was a pretty good writer, but he just really went off the rails on being a jerk. So yeah. I actually had a listener write me an email saying, why are you ragging on Cantwell? You don't usually rag on people like that. That's beneath you.
Yep.
This is a long time ago.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Back. This is the Freedom Fiends. Michael's going to go play with his video or his audio or whatever the heck it is. So anyway.
Is that what they call it now?
Either that or he's cooking Cantwell, Connie. But anyway. Michael, don't relapse. Don't relapse. We kind of want you a little
yes,
bit.
Yes. Oh.
So anyway.
My.
Yeah, the whole Cantwell thing, it's really interesting because when he first came on the scene, I think Michael, one of you guys were talking how he started off as like an LP type guy, campaign for a tiny bit more liberty member, stuff like that. And what I really suspect was that he didn't get any play there. He didn't really fit right in. Like, if you look at a lot of the LP folks, and James, I'm not going to include you and the other members of the Radical Caucus in this. I'm going to talk about the
The Radical Caucus is terrible.
That actually, yeah. But that's my favorite part of the LP. But
no, the Audacious Caucus is where it's at.
Well, obviously, you can tell that I'm not reading my newsletters here. But anyway, the political libertarians, the ones that think, yeah, this time we're going to get our 5% and we're going to get our federal funding for the election. And, yeah, we're going to get our people in office. We're going to take people. We're going to take over the government and leave people alone after we create our own libertarian freedom laws. The ones that actually take it seriously. I think a lot of them are really just washouts from the GOP and the Democratic Party, and they couldn't get taken seriously there, so they went to join the LP where they could be big fish in that tiny little pond. And you know, maybe that's a farm league. Maybe they went down there to practice not getting votes so they can go back to the big leagues, the GOP, and not get votes.
But a lot of them do that.
Yeah,
a lot of them do that. Well, there's definitely a revolving door that goes through where they'll come back and forth between the major parties and the minor parties just to. I don't know why, but there's definitely a lot of them that like they're getting their practice in at the minor party level to go in and try and go become a Republican or Democrat.
The farm team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has Tiffany signed a 4-year contract with the Democrats yet?
Yeah, probably coming soon.
Okay, yeah, I figure so. But anyway, so what I figure was he was somebody that couldn't fit in any of those places, like the mini status campaign for a tiny bit more liberty. So he eventually wound up being an anarchist, where being an individual part of the anarchist collective. but anyway. I always thought that he was a very good writer. I thought that when he spoke, he wasn't.
Who are we talking about?
He could be good. Yeah, there was a video that came out. Oh gosh, it's within the last year, and he had a little segment where he spoke on it, and he was explaining something, and he just nailed it. And he was very coherent. He had a very calm, peaceful, likable tone, and he just absolutely dropped Mad Scientist. And I think we may have even talked about it on the show. But
well, I had a theory for a while that was that he was a government plant, and his better articles were written by a committee from the government because they were so good compared to some of his just drunken 5-year-old sounding blog posts. Who's eating something with a spoon?
That's me. Okay. How'd you know it was a spoon and not a fork?
I hear it too. Because I could tell.
Because it's freaking fiend phone, tink, man. Tink.
Yeah.
So, speaking of bad audio, I have some audio here that James Week sent me that really ties into what you guys are talking about.
Is this Breaking Bad audio?
It's breaking news audio.
Is it Breaking Bad audio where they talk about cooking Cantwell coin?
No, no. It's Milo Yiannopoulos, the one, you know, like the guy who, like, so Republicans and cucks, I mean, alt-rights can say,
Daddy Trump.
Hey, I'm open-minded. I have a gay friend that they've never met, Milo.
The token gay friend.
Yeah, he really is. So he's, God, how do you describe this guy? I don't know. So James sent me audio, and he sent me several minutes of audio. It's actually video. So here's, before we do this, here's a little bit of teaching hospice, audio teaching radio hospital. So James was like, hey, I've got this cell phone video of this famous idiot making fun of me at some speech, and it's on a video, and I'm trying to, and he sent me the video, and he's like, I'm trying to figure out where, you know, like, no, you don't send a video that's not on YouTube where you can't stop and start it. I said, just send me the video, I'll extract the audio, and then I can chop out what I don't want, and I can do a little fluffing and folding on it. I'm doing this in SoundForge, but you can do this on Audacity. So what I basically did was just got rid of the fluff. Like, it's such bad audio, I'm not going to play the question and then the answer and then the answer where he mentions James. I'm just going to play the answer. I'm going to use our great audio to say, what was the question, James?
The question was, you know, the alt-white's favorite word.
Cuck.
Cuck.
You can say cuck.
Why are libertarians cucks is basically what the question was.
Yeah, you know, this room, I would be willing to bet, is at least one-third ex-libertarians who just couldn't get a woman in liberty. So, you know, they still can't get a woman in the Republican Party, but I don't know.
They just don't have an excuse for it anymore.
Yeah. That's what it is. They couldn't get a woman in the libertarian community, so they went over to the Republican Party, still couldn't get a woman in the Republican Party, so now they've gone over to the white nationalist movement trying to get women. That's pretty much what.
Yeah. All right.
And so, maintaining their success levels.
Right? Yes.
They're nothing if not consistent.
Kind of like when Mr. Smithers, when Mr. Burns says to Smithers, "How are my stocks doing? How are amalgamated spats? How are confederated slave holdings doing?" And Smithers is like, "Steady. Really? Did I get droned?"
No.
No.
Okay.
That joke did, but
okay, here we go. Maybe Milo's bad audio will make you laugh. Okay, so if you
it
guys
really
can't
bad audio.
If people can't understand this horrible cell phone audio, basically Milo is saying, you know, libertarians are ridiculous, and you know, the pinnacle of it was that guy on TV, the obese streaker. He's talking about James. James took off his clothes at the Libertarian Party on national TV. I think that should be your business card. I think it should be James Weeks. Took off my clothes on C-SPAN. But you know what? That's not all you did. You do funny stuff. And one I shared today people liked a lot was some guy on Facebeef challenged you to a fight because he was a statist. And what was the fight about? What was that about?
Oh, I had posted, well, pretty much. Yeah, I had posted a picture on Facebook of me in a Colin Kaepernick jersey holding an anarchy flag and an AK-47 standing on an American flag.
Yeah.
And that really rustled his jimmies.
I don't know what anything you just said was except the word American flag, but
okay, let me break it down for you.
Is
sports
that the football
player didn't
that,
stand
the football yeah. player that wouldn't stand mm-hmm. up, right?
Yeah. He wouldn't stand up for the playing of the government's theme song.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Yeah,
he said, come to my town and fight me. And yep. then you immediately tried out Facebook's great new feature of requesting money. It was brand new, wasn't it? Like that week or something?
Yeah, it's like just came out. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah. And you immediately sent him a request for $500 reason to come to Milwaukee and fight you.
Yeah.
And then and the next thing was the guy declining your request. I thought that was funny.
He wouldn't put his money where his mouth was.
He really wouldn't. All right, so here we go.
I'm going to try this. Please donate.
This is only a minute and 15 seconds long of hate crime, bad audio. So here we go.
Let me do what I want. As I say, that most people want to be left alone and not language police isn't the same thing as I have no idea what society should be organized like. I have no idea what the size of the state should be. I have no idea like what kind of foreign policy we should have. And I don't care. I'm just going to be like, I'm just going to go and like mine some more Bitcoin today. Sad to say, the one Libertarian Party, which we saw in that glorious obese streaker. Do you remember him?
James Weeks.
Yeah. Was that his name?
Yep.
The Libertarian Party conference this year, some fat cunt just sort of wandered across the stage with no clothes on. Look, they're a joke. They deserve to be a joke. There is a long, proud, beautiful history of libertarianism, as best exemplified by J.S. Mill on liberty, classical liberalism. Do what the hell you want as long as you're not affecting other people, which deserves to be defended, and I'm a proud supporter of the modern Libertarian Party and sort of Reddit libertarians. Deserve nothing but a ritual public humiliation, so I intend to continue giving them.
I kind of agree with some of that, but not most of it. I mean, his idea of a libertarian is probably Dalton Adair. That's what I think of when I think of a Reddit libertarian,
His big complaint is that there's no central planners to make up this perfect utopian society of his.
That's funny.
Yeah, he definitely wants a bunch of government.
Yeah, so the question is, which Nancy is saying all this stuff? Is it Nancy Pelosi or is it...
It really sounds like Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, because the meme that's going to be the show picture for tonight, unless you change your mind in between now and then.
Central planners of memeing have approved that one. Okay. Got approved.
Okay, the picture is of Milo next to Nancy, and he does look prettier than her. And it's his little socialistic screed about...
Well, she's 109.
Libertarians are individualists. Yeah, they're not collectivists enough. They're not socialistic enough for me. They need to support the Supreme Soviet of America and all that other stuff. Or England, in his case. Or maybe both. Murigland. But anyway, so yeah, it's a quote that basically goes off with his rant on James.
Yeah, he definitely, it's funny the way he, because I do agree with some of his analysis on the Libertarian Party, but his reason for what he's saying is completely, they don't want government, they just want to be left alone, like that's the good part. How dare us just want to be left alone? How dare us not want to be overtaxed and overregulated? Like, that's some kind of terrible thing.
Please step on me.
Please tread on me,
Those libertarians don't want the SS to round up homosexuals and put them in camps.
it's quite funny, really, to see someone think the libertarians
are listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Back.
You're back. I'm front.
Yeah, I'm back. Milo is a liar, a socialist, and his stiletto heels stink.
Oh, but I'm sure they're Louboutins. Do you guys know what those are? I'm sorry.
I do not know what those are.
What'd you say?
Oh, they're really expensive stilettos. They have red bottoms. They're really, yeah, they're like, I don't know. I don't have a girl card. I've heard about them. So, expensive shoes.
Do they have like clear heels?
No, not those things. I know you're talking about stripper heels. That's what we call those. No, with the goldfish in the heel. Have you seen those?
That's more the pimp than the stripper.
You got to have the platform high top with the goldfish, right? And then the fur coat with the hat with the 2 foot feather.
Yeah, yes. from that movie, I'm gonna get you, sucker.
There was pimp a store. I'm not kidding. When I lived, one of the many reasons I left the part of Virginia that I lived in, there was stores like that. We called them the pimp stores, where they had suits like that, and they had every piece of the full outfit from head to toe, like all purple, all red, all white, all yellow, orange, whatever, from head to toe. Like, break that. I'm no fashion expert, but break up the color scheme a bit. I don't know. Yeah.
No, you gotta wear all white.
It's all one color, and the shoes match, and they're shiny, and
the patent leather shoes.
Yeah, really shiny.
You got to dress like a pimp named Slickback.
Oh boy.
So, are you still talking about Milo?
I don't know anymore.
Milo doesn't really dress like that, does he? Milo is I don't know. It's just funny to see how mad he seemed to be about that. Like, it doesn't affect him at all, but mm-hmm. he still wants to talk about how... what's great, he called me the face of the Libertarian Party, though.
Well, the thing is, James, what you did was you brought something to the Libertarian Party and the LP convention that it so desperately needed, and I mean a pulse. Because the LP is pretty darn boring. And yeah, sure, they get these really energetic candidates that really inspire people, like Wayne Ellenroot, Bob Barr, Gary Johnson. Oh, and yeah, I'm anti-war, Wayne Ellenroot.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I don't even believe in raising the bar either. But anyway, most people, I think, had no idea that the LP convention was going on at the time. I don't think there were a lot of people that were watching C-SPAN.
Definitely not. The
YouTube video of you taking it off and strutting your stuff and shaking what your mama gave you. That had a lot of views and scared the hell out of a lot of people. And
thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed to work. It angered all the right people. I got people like Milo, Milo, mad at me for it, so that's good. Anything I can do to trigger the alt-right will be I'll be happy to do.
Yeah. It's funny because they're the ones that talk about everybody else getting triggered and feels hurt and everything, and man, they are whiny.
Oh, they are just, they're just as bad. They're just as bad.
I'm not a white nationalist. I'm just, and I worry about the culture. I'm just a regular nationalist. And I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Which culture? The culture today, 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Seriously, I don't even bother anymore.
The culture started going away when people quit wearing belt buckles on their hats.
The invention of the button was the worst thing that ever happened to our culture.
Yeah, that's when things went downhill. Nothing's been the same.
That was
I miss the 50s. I long for the days of polio and segregation. Now that was a good time of culture. Stupid cultural justice warriors.
That's what they are too. They're CJWs. They're the same thing. They're just CJWs. That's all they are. You know, you say happy holidays to them and watch them break down in tears and go into convulsions on the store floor.
Why'd you say happy holidays? Because there's 27 separate holidays. I'm not going to list all of them trying to figure out what you are, numb nuggets.
Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
The Freedom Fiends, allegedly, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit Freedom Fueled Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair Cantwell Coin 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government meth user license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we are back. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Lisa and Big James, the sultry Libertarian Party stripper, and the posh preacher from the This Is Feinstein Bull Schumer rally. So.
You know that's a nice looking suit I had on that day.
Yes, it was, Reverend. Good, I wasn't good. Out there. Matter of fact, I wanted to get out there. I couldn't get out there, and I wound up getting a hold of you on like the chromed robot turd and getting you set up to come on the Fiends for an interview.
Yep. Skype over the phone, sitting in my van with the windows up on a blazing hot day.
So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about the fake news nonsense, the upload.
I got some real news.
Ooh.
It's negative 13.
Are you going to do your furries?
Furries. That's too short. How about just... It's negative 13 degrees here in Casper, Wyoming.
No!
Hold your kitties tight. Yep. And Bob is...
It's up to 28 like 40 here now.
28, ooh. 40. Man, that's bikini weather.
Well, like I said, it's up to 28. This morning when I left the house, it was like 20.
28 and 40, that's bikini weather if you add them together.
Well, 40 definitely.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy.
I don't know. What was the temperature inside the LP convention, James?
Hot. It's too hot for suits.
James, did you get the did you get all the Fiends merch I sent you?
I did. Got a ton of Fiends merch.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for that.
Yep. You got the flag. Have you tried on the flag as a cape yet?
No, I haven't worn it as a cape yet, but that's the plan. That'll be a sweet cape.
He can wear that to the next LP convention.
And a BIPCOT loincloth.
You know what? The little face mask might be able to double as like a, I don't know.
Actually, two of the face masks would make an awesome bra. didn't cover enough.
More like, I've seen James shirtless in person. It wouldn't be a bra, it'd be more like pasties.
Yeah. Oh, shots fired.
Oh, that's cold, Lou. I think everybody's already seen that if they have a TV or the internet. So. Yeah,
or been to Liberty Fest.
Yeah, or been. Yeah.
I forgot something about the Cantwell thing today. When he found out that I'd sent him $20 to hasten his decline, he said, "Some social weenie, whatever the show title is tonight, send me $20 worth of Bitcoin to try to hasten my decline." Well, joke's on him. I'm going to send it to buy drugs or hasten my decline. And again, I was selling, it was for Nazi marching powder, which is rat poison as far as I know. But it was just a joke. I didn't really want him to, well, I don't know. We'll see. But I found it interesting that he didn't deny not only being on drugs, but being in decline. Because he said, "This guy sent it to me to buy drugs and hasten my decline." Joke's on him. I sent it to altright.biz or something. And but that's kind of funny, you know, he didn't say I'm not in decline or I'm not on drugs. Yeah. All right. Back to your fun stuff. I'm just
pretty sure he is in decline.
Yeah, he is. He's you know, he'll have a lot of fun selling those guns off one by one until one night at 4 a.m. when, you know, the speeds run out and he's looking in the mirror and seeing into his soul. He'll have that one gun left, man.
Yeah, and next thing he'll know, he'll be down in the clubs of Skid Row and performing favors because that's the only thing he has left to sell.
Well, that's what we're going to do eventually. The next prank is going to be Winnie's homeless. I'm going to have someone in Keene go over the video camera and pay him to, I don't know, rub worms on his nipples on the street corner or something.
Yeah. He might wind up being Milo's little secret toy.
Little piglet?
Yeah.
Little squeal piggy. Piglet. Squeal piggy. Yeah.
You done took a wrong turn, boy. This here river don't go to Manchester.
Ooh.
This here river don't go to Porkfest. And neither do you.
What's the actual line? This river don't go to what?
A tree.
To what?
A tree.
Oh.
A-T-R-I-E, I think it is. Yeah, it's a little city or town in Georgia.
Oh, hey, somewhere. the new radio station run in Kentucky, is it? Did I say?
Lancaster?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Lancaster, Kentucky. Look it up on Wikipedia. Its claim to fame is that it is the setting of the book Uncle Remus.
Wow.
I can say that because I'm 164th black, but yeah, look it up, people. All right, have fun. I'll be back.
Thanks
for the warning. So anyway, so yeah, what were we talking about before we're so rudely furried?
The fake news.
Yeah, fake news. So yes. there's an article here from the Rutherford Institute. It's written by John Whitehead, and this is a couple weeks old. I was planning on going over this a long time ago, but shows got canceled, people got droned by bad weather, stuff like that. So, by the way, when it comes to fake news, the U.S. government is the biggest culprit. And it starts off with a quote here. It says, "We Americans are the ultimate innocents. We are forever desperate to believe that this time the government is telling us the truth." Former New York Times reporter Sidney Shanberg. So what this should really read is, "We Americans are the ultimate dupes because we never effing learn our lesson." And so,
it's
true. They're kind of, we're victims, repeatedly. They keep going back and they keep getting punched, you know, battered newsreader syndrome. So let's talk about fake stories, shall we? There's a garden variety fake news that's not really news so much as titillating tabloid-worthy material peddled by anyone with a Twitter account, blah, 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 blah. And that's just clickbait-type crap.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go along and you start looking at the different things that are out there, and it quotes here, as veteran journalist Carl Bernstein, who, along with Bob Woodward, blew the lid off the Watergate scandal, reported in his expansive 1977 Rolling Stone piece, The CIA and the Media, more than 400 American journalists in the past 25 years have secretly carried out assignments for the Central Intelligence Agency. And this is called Operation Mockingbird. There was cooperation, accommodation, and overlap. Journalists provided a full range of clandestine services. Reporters shared their notebooks with the CIA. Editors shared their staffs. Some of the journalists were Pulitzer Prize winners and distinguished reporters. In many instances, CIA documents show journalists were engaged to perform tasks for the CIA with the consent of the managements of America's leading news organizations.
That is crazy, isn't it? How in bed the media is with government, to where they're actually doing the CIA operations for the government. Like, it's crazy to see that the media would not be actual journalists at all. They're basically just undercover government agents, is what it's just showing.
Yeah. Not even undercover, for that matter. But I really, when you look at it, it's ultimately about access. Because one of our part-timer fiends, founding fiend Nima Vedati, spent a number of years in TV journalism, and he's recounted the story about going out to a police department to interview the chief or the PAO or whatever it was, the public information news, Mintru spokesperson. And essentially, they told him in the beginning, said, well, we'll see how you do and how you tell the story, and that'll determine how your access is. Basically something to that effect. So they have the choice of they can go out and they can be the readers of the government press releases and just mm-hmm. build upon the press release, or they can go and do some actual journalism and be behind their colleagues, the ones that are taking the stories and just reporting it as told.
Well, so of course, it's really a lot of laziness. Of course, they're going to want to go the easy route, I guess. It just makes it easy on them. They don't have to be actual reporters. All they have to do is just embellish a press release, and they're good to go. I mean, there's hardly any journalists out there that actually do their jobs anymore, and it's kind of sad to see that. A lot of them just go off of press releases and embellish it, and a lot of it's, you don't really see any investigative journalists anymore. The era of that has kind of gone away. And I'm sure this Operation Mockingbird played a big role in that.
Mm-hmm. Now, right. Lisa, you're an actual journalist, and yes. I've watched you put together news articles, and I've watched you do research, find sources, cite them, and everything else. Now, you're not a gumshoe going out and pounding the pavement and interviewing people and stuff like that. You're doing the research of what's already available. But how much work do you put into most of these articles, and what efforts do you go through to get it right?
It really depends on what the article's about. My background is in health sciences, so I prefer to write about health stories, and it even applies to that. I mean, you can go back 50, 60 years to studies, scientific studies specifically on nutrition, and you can find that there was bias way back then even. You know, a lot of it has to do with money. It's who's funding you. You know, you've got to say the things they want you to say. You've got to spin things the way they want them spun. I won't get off on a tangent about that because we've all heard this one before. But what I do is I think that being an anarchist puts me in a unique position. I'm not really biased. I don't lean left or right. I want to know the truth. And that's actually how I came to my philosophy about all of this is writing news and reading news. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. You know, both sides are equally bad. They lie and distort the truth.
Sometimes the media leans left, sometimes it leans right, but it always leans statist. We'll be back.
Yes.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When the final element issues, it's not because you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, you gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, you gotta collect them all.
Launches its war on fake news, elements of the 75th Infantry Regiment, Rangers, raided the New York Times today. Paul Krugman was dragged kicking and screaming from the building with a hood over his head. He is expected to arrive in Gitmo once all the windows are replaced with plexiglass.
Don't and Jesus. We are.
Yeah, for reals. So anyway, nice. Yeah, we're talking about the whole fake news thing, and you had a story that you started telling during the break, and I had to admonish you to say, "Look, we tell the good stuff during the show, and save the Richard and Flatulence jokes for the commercials."
Right.
Because yeah. we have a tendency to do the opposite of that, but I. With going back to the Operation Mockingbird and the media carrying the water for government, I think there's a lot of reasons. One is definitely laziness. This way they don't have to work. This way they get continued access, and they'll get spoon-fed all the information that they need without having to do a whole lot. And then also it's about speed, because there's more of an incentive to get it first rather than get it right. But I think a lot of people are really patriotic. I know that in our circles of our anarchist or non-state-looking friends, we don't see a whole lot of that. But there are a lot of people out there that are so darn patriotic. There's a bunch of Milo Yiannopouloses out there that believe that the state Uber Alles is more important than the individual. So right. They will do what must be done, and they will sacrifice their integrity for the what they believe to be the good of the collective.
Right, and before the break, you asked me how I do my research, what I do differently, and you mentioned just now news outlets jumping on a story before all the facts are out. And so my approach is different. When something happens, like let's say some kind of disaster or a shooting or whatever, I sit back and I wait for more information to come in, because almost always the first bits of information that are released are not true. There were six shooters, you know, later you find out it was like somebody with a knife, you know, who ran a car into a pole and scared people or whatever. So
like
I wait.
Thing in Ohio.
I sit back and wait. Exactly what I was referring to. I wait because I don't want to be the one who, oops, yeah, sorry, I was wrong. Because what I have found, you know, working in alternative media for the last few years is that if you print a story, if you publish a story and it's wrong and you go back later and retract it or correct it, people get mad at you. Why did you report it wrong in the first place? And I'm like, whoa, the backlash. And I'm like, you know what? So now I wait a little while. One of my coworkers published something that was on 14 different news outlets, most of them mainstream. She researched it. She wrote a really good article about it. And people on Facebook, we had to go in later on. It was about CNN supposedly posting some porn. And it turned out to not be a true story. So we printed a retraction and said, whoops, sorry, we were wrong. You know, and this is another example of mainstream media, you know, posting things before they were confirmed. And some people got mad at me. And I said, wait a minute, because I handle the social media. And I said, well, you know, hold on a minute. Do you want us to just leave it up there like it's true then? I think people sometimes want things to be true. So I recently got yelled at by a lot of people because people, I think, disliked Hillary Clinton so much that they sort of started liking Trump, you know, because he was the anti-Hillary. So instead of just saying, you know, Hillary's allegedly really bad, you know what? Right. People, I saw it happening. People who were anarchists or libertarians started to kind of like Trump and stick up for him. So I wrote an article about Jeff Sessions, his AG pick, who loves civil asset forfeiture and doesn't like marijuana. He said, if you smoke marijuana, you're not a good person. And people were so mad at me for writing that. And I was like, whoa, the cognitive dissonance is deep with these people. They don't want to hear the truth.
They were so worried about what would happen if Hillary was elected, you know, the different policies that she would enact. Well, despite all those fears, their curiosities will be satisfied, because in January, when Trump gets inaugurated, they're going to find out what a Hillary presidency was going to look like.
Yeah, and in some ways, it's even worse. He is surrounding himself. It's almost like he's, I hate to use this word, I don't really like it, but it's almost like he's trolling everybody. I'm like, see, he's picking the worst possible people to surround himself with.
Maybe he's stacking the line of succession to keep from getting assassinated. Kind of like Biden was Obama's insurance policy.
Yeah.
Well, even with going to his VP pick, you know, that was like, they were able to find someone worse than Trump to put in there.
I know,
as his VP.
That guy.
You know, like, how was that possible? When you had a guy who, if Cthulhu was in the race, Trump or Cthulhu would have been a lesser evil. You know, like,
that's who I wanted to be.
And you found someone worse to be the guy's VP?
We'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, joined by Lisa and Big James. And we are talking about fake news. So, Lisa, you started talking about the Kitty Genovese story a little while back. So,
yeah, go ahead. Most people, I think, know who she is. Her case was very famous. In 1964, she was killed outside of her apartment in New York. And the story goes, she was outside screaming for help. 37 people who looked out the windows and saw this happening and heard her screaming, did nothing to help her. That's the story. The New York Times reported on the story when it happened, and the actual headline was, 37 people who saw murder didn't call the police. And turns out that's not true at all. Kitty Genovese's brother, a couple of years ago, made a documentary where he went and found a lot of the people who lived in her building, you know, people who actually were there the night that she was killed, and they explained, you know, some of them did call the police. He went and found police records. He dug through all the evidence. Turns out that's not what happened at all. So he went and talked to the man who was the editor of that section of the New York Times and asked him, you know, why did you say there were 37 or 38 witnesses that didn't help my sister? And he said, oh, you know, well, we thought at the time, and then, you know, her brother finally got the guy to admit, well, you know what, it made a really good headline and it got a lot of attention and people still talk about it. But the problem with that is it led to psychological studies on the bystander effect, which it turns out isn't even a real thing. That doesn't actually happen. There aren't any documented cases of that happening, you know, where a group of people just stand around and do nothing, unless you're in a really bad neighborhood and there's gangs and, you know, people don't want to, because, you know, snitches get stitches or whatever. You know, those cases, yeah, sometimes something will happen and nobody calls the police or helps out. But so this is my point, is that this has been going on for a long time, and there are a lot of different reasons that the media will lie, extort things, exaggerate, twist a story around. It's, you know, ultimately about money and ego too, I think, for a lot of these writers and editors. They want to get the big story, they want to get the, you know, they want to get the publicity and the fame.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that story, you know, I always believed the bystander effect was a real thing. And a couple months ago, I wanted to write an article about that because I also write about psychology and health. And that I did some digging and found, whoa, okay, you know, looks like this actually isn't true. And then I watched the documentary a week or two ago and I was completely absorbed by it. But yeah, you don't. You know, lots of fake stuff going out there. Lots of whenever I see a headline, my general rule is if it sounds really crazy, it's probably not true. And you can read the same story on maybe 10 different sites and you're going to get different spin, unless they're just quoting each other. And that's a problem, too. A lot of people do get lazy. They quote other sources without actually doing the research themselves to find out what really happened.
You guys still there?
Nope.
What happened? That was weird.
Okay. All right. We're back. Okay. So, yeah, please continue, Lisa.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that, you know, there are a lot of different reasons that stories will get twisted. You know, some places actually do lie. This election cycle, there were a lot of legitimately fake websites that published stories that were really outrageous. There was one, I cannot remember what the story was about, but no less than 60 of my Facebook friends shared the story. And I was trying to go around doing damage control. I'm like, don't share this anymore. It's not true. And I was telling people, and a couple people got annoyed with me. Well, how do you know it's not true? And I'm like, look at the, do you really think the story is true? Like, think about it. And then if you reference a site like Snopes, people get mad. And actually, people get mad at Snopes. They get it right most of the time.
No, not really. Not when it comes to liberal politicians.
I've never read anything wrong that I've never found them to be wrong.
They're always pro-state and they're always pro-leftist.
Yeah, so anyway. I have noticed that when they, like, if two people say very similar things and one of them is left-leaning and the other a right, they'll have the right, like, rated as, like, pants on fire or whatever, and the left is, like, somewhat true. You know, I've noticed that where they definitely have a bias in their like rating of where it is that the truth stands at, where they'll favor the liberal politicians over the more conservative ones.
Yeah. Ben Stone had a segment on one of his old podcasts talking about Snopes, and he went into some really good detail on stories that they've really had really let their bias show. Snopes isn't some investigative journalism unit. It's a couple of libtards using Google with a cat.
Well, they're Canadian, but I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not liberal. But I personally, I have yet to have anyone prove to me a single case where they've been wrong. And I'm saying this as a person who is an investigative journalist. So I've yet to have anybody. That's a story that a lot of people tell, but I've never seen actual evidence of it. And I know people get mad at me for that too. But
I haven't used Snopes in so darn long because of all the pro-state and nonsense that we were just talking about. So I can't tell you anything in recent memory. But anyway,
yeah, I just look for facts about something. If it's true or not, and I'll go look. They do put a spin on it.
I look for facts too. That's why I don't go to Snopes. But anyway, I'm looking at this meme. It's a copy of the International World News from like 2003 or 1993. It's got a picture of Hillary Clinton, like when she was first lady. It says Hillary Clinton adopts alien baby, and the caption is, "Kid, this is a tabloid from 1993. Back then, fake news was called tabloids, and anyone who believed them were called idiots. And there were plenty of people that actually did believe the fake news nonsense. But
oh, sure. Yep.
There's a story here, and this was originally on the antimedia.org, and you guys carried it over on Daily Sheeple. When fake news gets people killed, it must be stopped. So, tell us a little bit about that, Lisa.
Well, I'd have to start with the lead. Most of the time when the president says things we more or less agree with, when he says things along the lines of attack on civilians must be stopped, of course we all approve. How can we not? The only problem is that usually he's only applying these standards to uncooperative governments and never to himself or his allies. The war on alternative media is a prime example of this. Obama's spiel at a recent press conference in Germany is hard to argue with on its face, as he stated that the fake news undermines the American political process. If we are not serious about facts and what's true and what's not, we can't discriminate between serious arguments and propaganda. Then we have problems. And then he goes on to say, I agree. I think everyone agrees. Fake news must be stopped. Let's see. Was there... can't remember the point is. It's kind of a long article. But he goes on to talk about Gaddafi and all the other things that the mainstream media has lied to us about or extorted. You know, and things that are happening in Syria right now, of course, we've been...
Well, there was a fake news story that went viral. It was about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq back in 2003.
Yeah.
That was a pretty bad fake news article there. That led to a war.
Yeah. And that was told by the administration. So in this case, going back to the Rutherford Institute article a few minutes ago, the government is the worst purveyor of fake news, and the mainstream media, the lapdog media, the lackeys, are the ones that go ahead and distribute it. So I guess the way of putting it is, when it comes to fake news, the government is the cartel, and the New York Times and the TV stations and all that other stuff, those are the street level dealers just pushing it on the junkies out there that can't get enough of it.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. That's what it's like. It is. It's great for people who work in alternative media, because we finally are feeling vindicated. Like, yeah, we've been telling you guys this for how many years?
So I'm wondering what's going to happen in the next 10 to 20 years when most of the mainstream media's viewers are dead and gone from old age.
I don't know. I usually look to foreign news sources, and I'm telling you, for years I've been criticized for that. I've been called a conspiracy theorist, all sorts of things.
You hate America.
Yeah, all kinds of things. And people ask me, and I'm like, I read news all day, every day. Even when I'm not working, I'm a news junkie, and I read it from so many different sources. And, you know, I'd say one way to tell if something is true or not is common sense. I mean, so many headlines now are just, obviously, a lot of them are clickbait, too. You know, the headline draws you in, and you get to the article, and it's not even anything about the headline.
Or it's not even an article, and it's just a slideshow of pictures.
I can't stand those. And you have to keep opening another page, and I'm like, I just click out of them. I'm like, come on. Who has time for that?
There was a meme that I saw. It was a picture of Obama drinking a can of Pepsi, and it says, according to the mainstream media, here's a story. And with Fox, it says, Obama declares war on Coke. MSNBC says President Obama's drinking Pepsi, the greatest soda on earth, and if you disagree, you're a racist. And then BBC says 18 killed in drone strike of hospital in the Middle East.
That is true about American news versus the foreign news as far as getting information. When it comes to information about what's going on, I think out-of-country sources are probably the best ones, because, I mean, they're not going to have as much of the bias as the American sources would have. I mean, you're still going to have that. You're still going to have people, no matter where you go, you're going to have biases. But you're probably going to get a little bit of a better story by someone that's not basically just a branch of the United States government.
The thing to remember is you'll get more honesty because they hate America.
True.
There's that too.
Yeah.
But then it's just propaganda, right? That's what call it, propaganda.
You can't win. I refer to a lot of different sites. I like independent journalists who go out and observe things and report their observations. I really, really like the Ron Paul Institute's website, especially for foreign policy news.
Yeah, and also the U.S. government lifted its ban on using propaganda domestically. Not that they were paying attention to it than most potheads are with the pot laws, but anyway, we'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
And we are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. Final segment, possibly some redemption in the third act. We have no idea what's going to be said. It might be redemptive. It might be more of the same nonsense. It might just be Richard and Flatulence jokes. Who knows? So I'm going to start pounding out these show notes to Mike. Well, I already started during the break, but I'm going to finish up these show notes to Michael. So go ahead and what do you guys want to talk about? What's the redemption in the third act? How are we going to send these people to bed all warm, fuzzy, and happy like kittens?
Well, you guys probably heard about Time magazine. One of the writers there having a fit and urging the 65 million Americans who voted for Hillary not to pay taxes. And I'm like, yay, they got something right, wrong reason, but I like where this is heading.
Sort of right.
Right. You got the right action, but not the right reason for the action.
Hey, as long as the action's good, though.
but what's the reason? Because they're not saying that people should quit paying taxes. Really, what they're saying is something a little bit different.
Yeah. Okay. Under the twisted premise, this is from Zero Hedge, of losing the popular vote and no taxation without representation, Times' Mark Weston proclaims that the approximately 65 million Democrats who voted for Clinton should pledge, "We won't pay taxes to the federal government until democracy is restored," because, you know, it's just not fair. So the article in Time is interesting. He goes on about how Republicans have finished second in the popular vote, but they actually won the presidency twice in the last 16 years. They would not be saying this if Hillary had won, you know, if the roles were reversed, but I digress. So they're complaining about this system now, and all of a sudden the Electoral College doesn't mean anything. What matters to them now is the popular vote. So they say that signing a pledge to not pay taxes is legal if no overt act of conspiracy is involved, and the pledge itself is hypothetical. No one knows when or if it would be carried out. And he goes on and on about that, and I'm just like, hey, I made a little note at the top of this because we republished this on the Daily Sheeple, and I said, if you consider that 46.9% of eligible voters stayed home on Election Day, and only about half of those who did vote selected Trump and the other half voted for Clinton, that means about 25% of eligible voters elected Trump. So the argument that Hillary voters should stop paying taxes under the premise of no taxation without representation actually applies to pretty much everybody, doesn't it?
I kind of like where they're going with this. So I can just not vote and not pay taxes. I kind of like that. If my guy doesn't get elected, I don't have to pay taxes. This is good. This is good. I like this.
Well, that's how I interpreted it.
This should be. This is like this is amazing. This is how it always should be.
Well, yes.
To quote Bill Buport, so you people are running around screaming, "Not my president! Welcome to my world, you commie bleeps."
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, hi, yeah. Welcome right. to, you know.
Their complaint is that the republic is not functioning as a direct democracy. Now, I don't support elections, presidencies, or any of this other crap. But I mean, quite frankly, the electoral college is in there for whatever reason that it is in there, and these guys are moving the goalposts. And Lisa, you're right. If Hillary had won the popular vote and won the not won the Electoral College, they would have been taking out their pocket constitutions and smooching away.
Yeah.
So
the hypocrisy is astounding. Yeah. I hear furries.
So I put no faith in them.
I hear furries.
So, but interestingly enough, that article comes from Time Magazine, which has just named Trump the person of the year. And what's really interesting is they have this presidential picture or presidential like picture of him on the cover, but he's been on the cover like four times this year, and I think the first two of them were memes that made him look like a South Park character.
So I knew that so man, that the year doesn't mean the great man. It means the man that was in the news the most. Hitler was Time's man of the year, I think.
So Stalin.
Or 43 or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 37.
A lot of people don't know that, though. Like, they're, look, they made 72 community.
But the thing is, Hitler wasn't in the news for being evil at the time.
Hitler.
But I repeat myself. All right, everybody, thanks for coming on, and thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.